Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Here I am in Cheltenham, Gloucestershire, United Kingdom, and this house is in the location where Edward Jenner lived. Unfortunately, it's not the original house. But anyway, Edward Jenner is best known as the discoverer of immunology, or father thereof, although that's not quite true. He's certainly someone who popularized it in the Western world. Disseminator, perhaps, would be a better word. So he's born at Berkeley in Gloucestershire, not far away, because this is town is in the county of Gloucestershire, and his father was an Anglican vicar. Quite a few children. His father wasn't that well off as Anglican clergy went, because their income depended greatly on how wealthy the parish was they were allocated to. So he was schooled locally, Edward Jenner, and at 14 he was apprenticed to a local physician, and that was a common thing to do. Doctors didn't necessarily go to university in those days. They often went to a hospital, which would organise lectures and exams and so on. It was much more informal back then. So he served his apprenticeship for several years. Then he went to St George's Hospital in London, which still exists, though not in its original location. And then he eventually qualified as a doctor, and he went back to Gloucestershire to practice. And really beyond actually qualifying as a doctor, there are none of these exams all the time to keep their skills up. But he became a surgeon as well. He was a real polymath, as an amateur zoologist, particularly enthralled by cuckoos, and published on things like that. He was later elected to the Royal Society of London. I can't remember the Royal Society of London's proper name, but something like the Royal Society of London for the Furtherance of Natural Knowledge, or something like that. It's science, really. So it's been going since the late 17th century. He married, he had three children, a very modest brood for the time. Most couples are much more fecund than that. But coming to the thing that he's really famous for, cut to the chase, was vaccinations. Now, he didn't invent them. They'd been known amongst the Circassians, the people of the South Caucasus, for as long as history can record. And Lady Mary Wortley Montagu was there in the early 18th century in Istanbul, then capital of the Ottoman Empire. And she recorded that. Of course, the Circassians come from quite far away, but spread somewhat through Turkey. So it obviously comes from vaca, vaccination, as in cow. So smallpox used to ravage the population. Jean-Marie Arouet, better known as Voltaire, he said that 60% of the populace was infected with this illness and 20% died of it. Well, that's probably an exaggeration, but certainly did kill an awful lot of people. Yes, the majority of people survived it, but you could be permanently pockmarked all over your face. Remember in Saudi Arabia when I was little in the 1980s, seeing a man who clearly suffered from it. Because it's really only eradicated in the 1970s. Apparently it's come back in Pakistan a bit because some people have been resisting vaccination. Of course, there are also some anti-scientific people who claim it's interfering with the will of God. Well, maybe it is, but yeah, good. But wait a second, did God not will the discovery of the vaccination? Whether he could have prevented it, or indeed people actually been vaccinated, he could have invented it. But so coming back to him, he noticed that poets and painters were always waxing lyrical about the beautiful milkmaid, these ladies who milk cows' udders, and why do they have this radiant, youthful, healthy, glowing complexion? They were a dermatologist's delight. There must be some connection, he concluded, between the quality of their skin and their occupation, because there's a thing called cowpox, and so by handling the udders, there are no milk machines in those days, they would slightly scratch their skin and get somewhat irritated skin on their digits, palms, and so forth. But this must confer an immunity on them, therefore they were unable to catch smallpox, and that's why they never succumbed to it. So he'd been vaccinated himself as a child, so it really wasn't new in this country, but it wasn't very well widely known about or believed. Even some of the medical profession poo-pooed the very idea. It would be preposterous that this would make you safe from anything else. And obviously this notion of vaccinations applied to everything, like down to coronavirus these days. He'd heard William Harvey's dictum, that well-known 17th century doctor and real son of the Enlightenment, don't think, try. And people saying, well, if it doesn't work theoretically, then it can't possibly work in practice, when obviously the opposite is the truth. So he decided to experiment, and any volunteers, so a farmer in Gloucestershire, he volunteered his 8-year-old son. I can't remember the unfortunate boy's name, James something or other. He put him forward for that. It wouldn't get past the ethics committee today, because a slight problem, if this goes wrong, you have deliberately infected him with a deadly disease, you can kill the child, and if not permanently disfigure him. But, you know, well, it's all in the name of science. So these days, we'd probably regard that as the worst form of child abuse. And it is true that in the long run, that saved hundreds of millions of lives. And what kind of father was he to say, okay, you can do it on my kid. If he dies, ho-hum. But anyway, life was cheap in those days. So perhaps we ought to dethrone him as a god of science, Edward Jenner, for what he did to this boy. Really being far from certain this was going to work out. And so deliberately infected him with cowpox and later purposefully infected him with smallpox to see whether the child had developed an immunity, and indeed he had. So he'd given his body a small taste of the more serious disease so his body could develop whatever antibodies and so on to fight off the more serious infection, and it worked. And he published about a book about this, and it spread, and he became very famous, well regarded, hailed by King George III, well, he was rather ailing then, more by his imbecile, obese son, George IV, the Prince Regent at that time. So he was loaded with honours. And that was him, became a rather wealthy man, was elected mayor of his town of Berkeley, as in B-E-R-K-E-L-E-Y. But I think it's pronounced Barkley, not Berkeley, as in there's a famous Barkley Castle there, but spelt as in Berkeley, California, or, you know, the philosopher George Berkeley. So coming back to Jenner, so anyway, he was elected a justice of the peace, as in like the lowest rank of judge in the criminal division. And he died at the age of 74, if memory serves. So he's buried in Berkeley, but there's a memorial to him in Gloucester Cathedral, which is obviously the county town that lends its name to the Shire of Gloucestershire. So he's been honoured all over the world, memorialised in various statues. And Cheltenham being the main town of Gloucestershire, that's why he's remembered here, because he practiced medicine here for a while, as well as being in Berkeley for most of the time. So that is Edward Jenner, and obviously we've just learned how to vaccinate people against all sorts of diseases, and the same principle applies to lots of other things, immunology. And the World Health Organization in the 1970s has declared it had been finally eradicated, but as I say, it's come back a little bit, and it broke out again in the northwest frontier province of Pakistan, or the Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, as they'd say, sometime after 9/11. And there was this smallpox vaccination program going on in that part of Pakistan, and that allowed the Americans to collect loads of DNA data, probably regarded totally as unethical, maybe illegal, because it was non-consensual, which allowed them to pinpoint Osama bin Laden and give him a lead injection. Right, anyway, so thank you so much for watching my video. And make sure that you get vaccinated against everything and anything. And don't listen to these crackpots who are really anti-scientific. Now, I've got no scientific background, but I do trust those who do, who publish their articles in peer-reviewed journals and do these double-blind tests and things like that, who base their beliefs on, you know, hypothesis, reasoning, evidence, drawing conclusions on the base of that, and not the most ignorant people mouthing off absolute crackpot conspiracy theories and so forth. So, you know, I'm not a virologist or an immunologist. I have to defer to those who have far greater knowledge in these fields, and I just don't have the vocabulary, the cognitive ability to even comprehend these learned journals yet, and I don't have the time to try and make myself well acquainted with these things. I can never have an expertise in that field. And if you don't agree with vaccines, if you think the whole thing is a hoax, all right, you know, that actually casts a doubt on the whole of medicine. Just never take any medicine again. Never go to the pharmacist or a doctor or a nurse or a dentist, because you know better than them. All right, so please make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.